Hi, my name is Hannah Fisher. I'm interviewing my neighbor, Gigi Elliott. I'm hoping that this interview is going to allow people to learn more about immigrants coming into the United States. I've come up with some questions I'd like to ask to you.
Okay.
So, Gigi, first of all, what country were you born in?
Philippines.
So, what was life like there?
I grew up poor, so it's very poor. It's a third world country.
So, what did you do for fun when you were younger?
We did a lot of outdoor stuff, because there wasn't enough stuff. When I was growing up, there weren't really a lot of toys for me to play with, so a lot of the stuff I would play with the kids in the neighborhood. I'd do a lot of playing outside, the playground.
So, how do you think life would be different if you'd stayed?
I'm not really sure, but I think I'd figure out a way to earn a living at a very early age. I would probably have to say that by the time I would have turned 14, I probably would have already have a job to help support my family.
So, did you go to school when you were in the Philippines?
Yes, just elementary school.
Okay, and what was it like there?
At school?
Yeah.
They really make you work hard. Like, we probably go as early as possible. I remember going to school, waking up at like 5 something, just to make it to school. We walked to school.
And how far was it from your house?
It was quite a walk, but there's a lot of kids in the neighborhood that walk the same way, so you could take public transportation, but sometimes people don't have the money for that, so they just walk.
Is there anything you miss about life in the Philippines?
My family. I still have some families over there that are not fortunate enough to come to the United States.
Okay. Have you ever gone back and visited?
I did once. When my dad died, he wanted to be buried back home, so we all went back home for that.
So why did you come to America?
I came with my parents, and my mom's sister petitioned for us to come to the United States. She was an American citizen, and she was able to petition for my mom to come, and I was a minor then, so I had to come with my mom.
Okay. So how did you get there? Did you go by plane or by boat?
Airplane, yeah. Okay. It was if I remember correctly, it was either 18 or 21 hour flight.
Wow. So how old were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was 12 years old.
And what was the transition like?
It was pretty hard because I didn't speak any English. So it was hard for me to learn English and try to get a good grade at school and then trying to act cool at the same time and trying to fit in. That was the hardest part.
So what do you remember most about first coming to the U.S.?
I was really excited. That's exciting. One thing I'll remember is we flew here with my cousin and my parents and my sister, but we were so excited to actually be able to eat a whole apple.
Wow.
Are these okay answers? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let me know if you need me to elaborate or anything.
What do you think is the best thing about living in America?
It is what they call a land of opportunity. So what I like about it is that anyone have access to education, anyone have access to a lot of support and resources that they would not have otherwise received from their own country.
Okay. So thank you.
That was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's my question.
Do you want to pause it?
Okay.
Do you want me to? Yeah. So the whole apple thing and chocolates and candies, we were so poor that every time my mom, we could only afford one apple. So my mom would buy a whole apple and then slice it up. And then my sister and I would either get a quarter or a piece of it. Same thing with like cashew nuts and stuff. I remember my parents, I was telling Jeremy that one of the biggest thing that I'm obsessed with is that we love cashew nuts. And like over here, you can buy them anywhere in every, you know, almost mm-hmm. any store. In the Philippines, it's not that we were really poor, but in the Philippines, people couldn't afford to buy nuts like in packages or in like pounds. Okay. I remember my mom would go to the market and she would buy, the only money she would have is to be, she can only afford a, they measure it in shot glasses. So have you seen those little shot glasses that they have?
Yeah.
So in the market, they would sell cashew nuts because they were so expensive. They would sell them in little shot glasses. So my mom would only be able to either afford one or two, that's how they measure them, one or two shot glasses. And between my sister and I and my family, we would have to split them.
Wow.
Yeah. What was the question about what it's like to live in the Philippines? Do you want me to elaborate on that one?
Can, if you want to, yeah.
I mean, it's, okay. If you want me to.
Yeah.
What else can I tell you about the Philippines? So school is free, but because it's free, we almost have to take care of our school. Meaning even the kids in the first grade, if you were in the elementary school, you were expected to come in early. They give you little tasks and duties for elementary school. So in the morning, if you were given the morning duty, you would have to come in extra early. You would have to help the cook and the kitchen. The help, you're going to be the help for the kitchen. You're going to help prepare the lunch that you guys are going to be eating or they're going to be serving at the school. Or if you were given a task that you're the afternoon kids, you would have to be with a batch of kids that would do the dishes after they serve the lunches. Or later in the afternoon, we had boys that we had wood floors, and we used the kind of wax that you would apply the wax, and then you would use this almost like a coconut brush, bristles from a coconut, and make it shiny. But it would be art, the kids. So there would be sections. So let's say if you were in the second grade, they would take half of the second grade, and the girls would be responsible to help to do dishes in the kitchen after they've served lunches, and the boys would be responsible of helping in each of the classrooms to clean the classroom or help the teacher apply the wax on the wood floor. And then they would use as coconut brushes. So typically, we see those are more of like the punishments or like the kids that have behaved bad. So I remember like at school when we would go home in the afternoon, you'd see a lot of the boys, if you know, like if their uniform is white and they have like a tint of red or dirt, kids would make fun of them, and like people would know that they were picked to scrub the floor because they had done something bad or something like that. So that's kind of what it was like over there. But what else can I tell you over there? It was really hard. A lot of the kids from the Philippines don't even get to graduate elementary school because they are forced to earn a living so that they can support their family. My parents, my mom was fortunate enough that her dad was a cop. And so her dad was able to send her to some kind of school. So my mom, I think, finished maybe high school. But my dad was very, very poor. He came from a very, very poor town that his parents couldn't afford to send him to school. My dad only graduated, I think, first or second grade, and my dad was illiterate. My dad could barely write and read, you know. So coming to America, when you had asked what was the transition, it was hard because my dad, one, could barely read, so we had to teach him street signs. He had to learn how to speak English, but between my sister and I, my mom, we would make my dad little flashcards of like how to communicate with people. But but in the Philippines, because you don't get the higher education, so they trained you to be street smart. So anyone can survive, even though they have very low education, because you trained your mind at a very young age to make do with what you have. What can I tell you about the schooling here? The difference is that you get creative. I get a lot of compliment at work that I'm very creative. Like I could come up, you can give me a paper cup and I could give you 10 different ways to use a paper cup for an activity. What it is that because when I was growing up in the Philippines, it was so poor over there that we were trained to come up with different ways to either educate ourselves, entertain ourselves, Levi, you know, like, for example, like, if you, I'm just, you know, make it, I'm just using it as an example. I don't remember, like, specific stuff. So if you had a paper plate that you use for lunch or dinner, you don't really throw it away after. You learn a way to clean it, to reuse it as many times as you need. And then after you've reused it many times, I'm sure you could use it to patch a hole on the wall or something. Things like that. You know, people use aluminum foil to patch holes on the ceilings and stuff. You know.
Oh my gosh.
I don't, you know, I mean, that's why I've been very fortunate that I was able to come here legally with my parents. Would I want to go back over there? Right now, it has evolved. It caught up with, you know, with technology, and it made a lot of economical advances. So I think that that people are living there very comfortably, as you would compare in the United States, but not when I was growing up. So with this interview is my husband, Jeremy Elliott, who, I mean, I've shared a lot of things with him as I was growing up in the Philippines and my life over there that I think made me appreciate what I have now. What were you going to say?
What was your first grade you came
to?
Oh,
okay. So in the Philippines, like I said, you were trained. Yes, you can say, I'm smart, Jeremy. Come on. Kudos to me. I'm just kidding.
That's not the point.
I know. I'm just kidding. So I was in the seventh grade. So when I came here, I was in the seventh grade. Even though I didn't speak English, when I was in the seventh grade, I came to school and I was like, oh my gosh, I am so bored. These are stuff I've already learned when I was probably in the third or fourth grade.
So
over
what,
there.
What would you say when you came here to be in the seventh grade, what was your equivalent grade level here in the States?
I was 10th. I went from, wait, 8, 9. Yeah, I skipped two grades.
Wow.
I graduated at 16.
Oh my
I just
God,
turned
that's
16
cool.
when I graduated high school. Levi, not right now. I graduated high school. I had just turned 16 when I graduated high school because I was in the seventh grade, and my uncle really was into like education. He believed in, you know, I'm sending all my kids. Actually, one of his kids now is a doctor, one's a cop. So he's one of the ones that really believed in me and say that, you know what, you're in America now, you have access to education, we're going to get you to your farthest, whatever, you know, degree you can receive. So I used to tell Jeremy, so I did skip two grades. I was in the seventh grade and I was like, oh my God, I was so bored. Even if I didn't speak English, I was like,
so do you think it was because the education you received there, or just
yes.
you being smart?
So well, maybe, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, what it was is that, so I took a test first and I told my uncle, I was like, I'm bored. So he went to talk to the principal and the,
right.
you know, the, and said that, you know what, can we test her? So when I tested, I skipped eighth and ninth grade. I went straight to high school and I started as a sophomore. Yes, one, you can say I'm smart, but two, a part of it is that because, again, in the Philippines, they try to give you as many education, they try to cram it. Remember when in my earlier interview, I told you that I would get up, I remember getting up at 5 o'clock and I don't come home till like late in the afternoon. A lot of the kids over there is because they were so poor that they try to give you as much education early on, because a lot of the times, 9 out of 10 people don't make it to high school or can't afford to make it to high school. So when they're in the sixth grade level and they would be like, what, 13, 14 by that time, a lot of them a lot of them would either be looking for a job already or probably already have a job. And we don't have middle grades. Middle school, we don't have middle school. So you go from elementary to high school. So you graduated the sixth grade and then you go to a freshman right away. There's no 7 and 8 in the Philippines because they don't think we needed it. So what you would have learned in 7 and 8 grade, they've already given it to us mm-hmm. in the elementary school. A lot of the times when kids graduate elementary school, mm-hmm. you have a choice. You can either afford to go back to go to high school so you can go to college, or you can just start looking for a job, looking for a work.
Mm-hmm.
So did that answer your question? And yes, I'm smart, but no, just kidding.
That's the point I wanted to make
yeah.
was even though the... In a third world country, you can imagine the American equivalent dollars
yes.
put forth towards education per student over there. For someone in a third world country to come here at seventh grade, and be it at 11th grade
level. That's
not
the norm, though. Working in an education center, I can tell you that's not the norm.
So tell them I'm smart.
It's really, she's smart, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Philippines, they don't score in the top 20 of the PISA. And that's the, you can pause that one. That's the...
All you want, okay. So when I took the test, the one thing that I remember, and I will never forget it, I was in this testing office with some guy, and because I hardly spoke English too, so it was more of like, he showed me pictures, and I needed to like tell him what I thought they were.
Yeah.
The one thing I missed was a safety pin. I didn't know what a safety pin was.
You've probably never seen one.
Was called an, I've seen one, but I just didn't know what it was in English.
Language barrier.
So I was like, you know, I don't know. And then I said it in Tagalog, but I said it in Tagalog with an accent, you know, to make it sound like it was English, you know. because I didn't know, like, right. Safety pin. So in my language, in Tagalog, it's called perdible. So it's P-E-R-D-I-B-L-E, I think. So you would say perdible. And I knew it was a perdible. But then I think, I remember specifically, because I was so embarrassed, because I didn't know what it was. I said perdible. Because I was trying to, I would assume that perdible in English would be perdible. So I said, it's perdible. And I remember the guy was like, what in the heck are you talking about? So he finally told me it was safety pin. And I'm like, I've never heard of that before. And in the Philippines, when they teach you English, they don't teach you, at least when I grew up, or the school that I attended, they teach you to formulate complete sentences, but they teach you more of like a dictionary thing. This is a picture of a cup. You would say it in my language. Then you say cup. So it's almost like English as a second language courses. So that's how we grew up learning English. So when I came here at 12, I could see, how do I say this? I could see things, look at the pictures, and know what it is in English.
Yeah.
But I can't speak it and say it in a complete sentence. Like if I was hungry, I couldn't come up to somebody and say, hey, could I please order a cup of coffee,
so it's not
water? So I would have to say like cup, coffee, please, no sugar, you know, but I knew what I was talking about, but I would not be able to say completely, like, could I please have a cup of coffee?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let's see.
So,
what's your follow-up question?
When did you actually become fluent in speaking English?
And because my husband won't give me credit, I thought I was pretty smart at the time. Because I caught up, I mean, probably in high school. At sophomore, I had this very thick glasses. You know, I was the youngest. I was like this dorky kid that nobody liked. I couldn't even make friends because I had two Filipino friends that I've hung out because they speak my language, you know. But I think I was just trained. Well, it's more of like I think I was more exposed to English because we lived with my uncle when we came out here because we didn't have the money to rent an apartment. So while my parents were working, we lived with my with relatives in their bedroom. You know, they let us stay with them until my parents were able to save up enough money so we can get our own apartment. So we lived with relatives at the time. But all of my cousins only spoke English because they've never gone to the Philippines. I was forced to learn how to speak English. And it was easier because my cousins were like my age and we kind of grew up, you know, growing up together. What else can I tell you about? Like right now, if I went back over there, I'm sure, I mean, I see a lot of things on Facebook that, you know, it has evolved. I mean, the Philippines has evolved now, like I said, you know, everything that you see here, they probably have over there. It's ironic that now even my relatives that are still there, me growing up poor and coming to America, sometimes I feel like I'm more poor over here than they are over there. Because sometimes I'll see like Facebook pictures, I'm like, they're wearing like expensive shoes, Nikes, leather jackets, you know, and I'm like, stuff that I can afford, but I wouldn't spend $100 on a pair of like Nikes and stuff, you know. But yeah, I remember. Then the other thing I was telling Jeremy is like, I remember a lot when I was growing up. I consider myself, I think I'm a very generous person, and I'm mindful of that. Again, I think because the way I grew up and the way I was trained and how my brain is set, that we shared whatever we had. Like whether you had a dollar or a penny, you shared it with other people because that's how I grew up. which is I still try to, you know, teach Levi and help him grow in a way that, you know, he does need to help the poor. He needs to be caring and giving, whether he has all those resources now. I remember I told Jeremy when I was little, I was, you're not going to believe that. How old are you now? I'm doing the interview for you. How old are you?
I'm 14.
You're 14. I did not have my first Barbie doll. I had my first Barbie doll gift when I was, I believe, in my late 20s by my friend Connie. Wow. Yeah, it was just like random Christmas present that she, you know, she and I had talked about. And then one day she just said, this is going to be a stupid gift, but it's a gift that's going to mean something to you. And that was my first Barbie doll. My aunt, when we were growing up in the Philippines, we have relatives here in America that would send us Christmas packages, which we do now. My sister and I send Christmas packages to the Philippines. So we're doing the exact the same thing that my relatives did for us when we were in the Philippines. I remember, again, with, you know, having to eat a whole apple all to yourself. That was like the most amazing thing. It was the same thing with candy bars and M&Ms. I remember, I remember receiving these packages from our relatives in the United States, and my mom, I kid you not, would have a Hershey bar, and you know how the Hershey bar has like the little squares that you mm-hmm. split? I remember my parents would split that evenly between me and my sister, or like they would take one Hershey bar, cut it in half, and only like had us eat the other half, and my parents would hide the other half so that we would have something to like eat again the next day, because otherwise we'd gobble everything. Or the same thing with M&Ms. Like M&Ms peanut, I remember getting these yellow packages and I didn't know what they were, but I knew they were M&Ms. But my mom and my sister, we would count them. And like, you know, I only had, my sister would get green. I had one green, she had one green or one yellow, or, you know, but we counted every little thing because it's not something that we get all the time. So then I remember when I was a kid, my aunt would send us toys. My parents would let me play with toys for maybe half an hour to an hour, but when I'm done, I have to return everything in the original packaging in the box, and it gets displayed on our thing because that was like probably one of our expensive possessions, you know. So I remember I had a pretend Barbie doll. And I still have, we couldn't afford Barbie doll then, that we only have the Barbie doll pencil toppers. So I remember having a pencil with the Barbie's head and I would brush Barbie's hair because we couldn't afford the whole Barbie. So in the market, they would just sell Barbie doll heads because that's all that people could afford. But they designed the Barbie doll heads to be pencil toppers. So we could actually, the kids could actually play with them, and I would still brush Barbie's hair.
That's actually cool.
It's pretty cool, right? When you think about it now, be like, oh, that's a vintage item. But back in the days, because it's a common thing that no one, unless you were rich or someone from the, you know, from an international family sent you one, no one can afford stuff like that. But anyways, I hope this is very educational for you, and I hope you get a good grade.